Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful we're gathered again tonight together. And Lord, we know Christians never part, really, because we're all part of that same body, Lord. All a part of Christ. And Lord, when I read that day, that when I get into that millennium, or if I go before then, Lord, that I didn't have to worry that everybody there would know me, and I'd know everybody there. That was so great. And Father, we're so thankful that we're a part of that. Some small part we can play, Lord, you can use us and then do so. We pray that you'll be with us tonight and help us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. This one, we're not finished with oneness, but I think I'm going to let it rest a while because there's one or two more I want to do on it. And so in the meantime, I had some more other ones I wanted to get to. So I've always really enjoyed this message. You know, God's only provided place of worship. He preached it three times in 1965. He named it slightly different, but he preached it three times. And I always thought it was interesting that he would, of all the messages he preached that year, he preached marriage and divorce, he preached it one time. Who is Melchizedek? Preached it one time. The rapture, he preached it one time. The invisible union, one time. But he preached this three times. And one time he thought he hadn't got it recorded. They thought they'd messed it up. But he still, even though that was the case, he preached it three times. And what even interested me even more was that you could pretty much say this message in one sentence. Christ the Word is that provided place of worship. But he took three services because he wanted us to know what he was saying here. It was very important to him because it was important to God. And we have to remember, Brother Ram said that when the prophet comes on the scene, then God is fixing to speak. And so if God's fixing to speak, I mean, we've had 2,000 years of men speaking for God, but now God was fixing to speak. I think we should listen to every word he said and count it a privilege that we know it in this hour. And so at the same time, when we start this little thought here, it may go another service. It's probably going to go at least one more. But we talk about Christ the Word is the provided place of worship. And Brother Branham also taught us that God said he'll build his church upon revelation. So they must tie together somehow. If he's going to build his church upon revelation, and the only provided place of worship is Christ, they're tied together there somehow. And now I want you to, but what we're going to key on this time, or at least try to as I go along, is the word provided. Because it isn't that we don't know the place of worship, but I wanted us to think about the fact that God provided this place of worship. It's not one we got to hunt and find and search out, because God draws us to this place that he's provided. And he has provided it. And that's what I really wanted to bear down on. But at the same time, Brother Branham's going to talk about you having to be right in the right condition. He's going to talk about you having to have the right motive and objective. He's going to talk about you having to approach God correctly. But yet, this is God's provided place of worship. He's provided it. And so that all has to go in there somehow. That all has to be a part of it. And so let's kind of keep that thought in mind, that this is God's provided place, that he done the providing. That's what I want to think about. And so we're going to look at how he did the providing a little bit here in the beginning. You know, we've been told that a seal once walked upon the bank of the sea with legs, but now he doesn't have legs. They turned into flaps because he had need of flaps. So God gave him flaps because he had need of them. He had a need, and there was somebody there to provide the need. And when he looked into, and when he took it from the sand, a fur-bearing animal, to the sea, nature formed him some flaps instead of legs because he could swim more than he did of his walking. I love how Brother Branham talks. It just makes perfect sense to me. When somebody else, English person, would just want to chew that sentence up, it makes perfect sense to me, because he could swim more than he did of his walking. It makes perfect sense. And I didn't think of this. He said, I can't think of this great man now that went to the South Pole. What was his name? Bird. They say that he had coats made for some cattle on his expedition, that he'd taken the cattle for milk. And he made fur coats to keep the cattle from freezing to death. But when he got there, they didn't need any fur coat. Nature had growed them one. So in whatever environment they walked into, God took care of them. Gave them a coat when they needed one, and it shed out when they didn't need one. I was talking to Jake the other day, and he was talking about these where these wild pigs come from, these feral pigs that are out in the woods that people hunt. And there's so many of them that I think the hunting season used to be open all the time for these wild pigs. And those pigs, if you took them out of the wild and put them in a fence and fed them, within 6 weeks, their tusks go away. If you turn them back out into the wild to fend for themselves, within 6 weeks, those tusks come back. So when they have to go looking for their food, God gives them a way to dig around and find it. And when they don't need it, it goes away. And I thought that was pretty amazing that that took place that quick. But before that, he's talking about those things now. Before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water for him to swim in, or he'd never have had a fin. Before there was a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth first for it to grow in, or there'd be no tree. Okay, so now he's going to bring it up to us humans. Now, there's got to be then one place, because he just, if you go back and read the message here, he's talking about the fact that the human desires to worship God. There's a desire for that. And so, if that's the case, there has to be then one place, because there is a desire in the human heart to find it. If that desire in that human heart is a true desire, that's God drawing them, there has to be something for them to find, because there's something drawing them. And I think, and that's why I tell you, I try to say that when we count things that we count as every day, they're not everyday little things. When you're drawn to this message, brother and sister, that's a powerful thing. Do you know how many people in this world kick dirt on this message? And how many people in this world who are in the message and still don't believe the message? And do you realize that? And so when you look at it, and not only do you look at it, but it's your fortitude. It's your everything. It's where you lay your head, and it's your refuge. When that happens, brothers and sisters, that's God Almighty doing that. It's not a plaything. It's not something to take lightly or pass off or let Satan make it sound like it's no big deal. It's amazing that God does it. And that's what he's talking about here. That these people, there is a desire in the human heart to find this one place of worship. And I think that the Word of God has the answer for everything that we have need of. So God has the answer. And let's search for it now in the scriptures and find this one place, this place. And then if God will show us by the scriptures the only place. He's only provided one. God's only produced one place. The only grounds, the only denomination, if it's so, the only way that God will meet a man then we should hold to that. The only way that God will meet a man. Do you know what meet means? If you look it up in the dictionary, it says to come into the presence of. The only way God will come into the presence of the man is this. This is the one way he'll do it. Then it's his provided way that he'll come into the presence of you. Remember what it says. If two or three are gathered together in my name. Keep that in mind, because Brother Brandon, we know, talks about wherever he's going to put his name, that's where that place is. And so when people say they're gathered together in his name, they can say it if they want to, but there's not always the case. There's a way that you approach God. And we should hold to that because we found the truth of the Bible, what it is or what it says. All right, so he goes on down. We're in the same message here, and we might jump out of time or two, but we're going to stay in this same message. Now, the word Deuteronomy, the word itself means two laws, the word Deuteronomy. And God has two laws. The two laws, one of them is disobey the word and die, and the other one is obedience to the word and live. So obedience to the word must be tied into this one place of worship, this provided place of worship, obedience to the word. And remember that obedience to the word is tied into this, and it's God's provided place of worship. He provided it. Two laws, and Deuteronomy means those two laws. They have both been absolutely displayed to us in the scripture, both those laws. One of them is death, and the other one is life, life and death. God deals only in life and Satan only in death. And these are displayed to the world publicly, openly, before every eye. And there's no excuse for us. One of them was displayed on Mount Sinai when the law was given, which condemned the whole human race. When God gave them the law, it condemned every last, all the human race, all that had come, all that was there and all that would come. It condemned them all because there was no way they could do this. And what did we just read? There was two laws, obedience to it and live. So if you can't be obedient to it, that's what he's saying. They couldn't be obedient to it. Brother Branham said he gave the Jews that law to show them that they couldn't keep it. They couldn't do it. You know, you have sometimes you have kids and they want to do something so bad. And you know if they do it, they're going to get hurt. And so finally they just keep on and on. And finally, the only way you just let them get in a controlled hurt and just let them do it. And I just think about that every time I read that Brother Bram said he give them the law to show them they couldn't keep it. You think about this is God. And he decided to give them the law to show them that it wouldn't work. How what a caring God that is. He's removing doubt from their mind that they could have done it. There's no place where you could do it. Because if he does that, if he shows them that they can't do it, then they'll look to the one that can do it. That's the whole purpose of it altogether. All right. The other one was give on Mount Calvary. And that brought the whole human race to life. And then the penalty was paid in Jesus Christ. That this one that was given on Mount Calvary brought them all to life. Why? We're going to find out why that one brought them all to life here in just a second. I want you to notice, again, that there was also two covenants give. One covenant was given to Adam, which was on conditions, like law. And if you will not touch this, then you will live. But if you touch this, you will die. And Brother Branham said that was not an eternal covenant because it was based on man. The only thing that can be eternal is based on God. That was a law. Then there was another law. Now, see, that's the law that he gave them. That was still the law. You had to obey the word. So when he gave them the law to go by, they were fallen. There's no way they could follow that law. They had to have something else come. Then there was another law given to Abraham, which was by grace. So this other law was given to Abraham, was by grace, was unconditional. I have saved you and your seed after you. Amen. So, and Brother Branham said that true faith seed of Abraham was Jesus Christ. That's who fulfilled the promise. The promise that God gave Abraham was a seed. You know, and then it produced what it produced. God's word is a seed, right? And so he gave it to Abraham, and Abraham accepted it. And then from that come another, come this, come all these different prophets and stuff down the age, until that covenant that he had made with Abraham brought Jesus Christ on the scene, who could stand and be obedient. The one man who'd been born on this earth who could be obedient. Then there was another law given to Abraham. Okay, I got that. So don't miss that obeying this law also, being obedient, entitles you to life. Remember the token message? Okay. That's why he's bringing it up as part of this message, is it being, you know, the provided. God is providing this because he provided Christ. He's provided our way to worship. He's provided our way to come into the presence of God. Now think, these men, why was they called and put in this condition? Now he's talking about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. By Jesus said, in vain you worship me. Worship him. Genuine worship. True worship from their hearts. Just like Cain, Brother Ram said. In vain you worship me. Why? Because they're teaching for doctrine the tradition of man. Therefore, you take the commandments of God, you make the commandments of God of no effect. So here they are trying to live by God's word with their intellect. They're trying to work it out with this man, and it's not going to work. Amen. And that's what they're doing. They're sincere in doing it, but they're doing it on their own action, see? They think that they still, under that Adam nature, they still are trying to do it and try to bring it to pass. I had a quote where Brother Branham, I didn't bring it, but he said, he talked about, you go ahead. Oh, he was talking about refuge. And he said, back in the Old Testament, there was a place of refuge. And he said, if you broke the law, he said, you could take off running for that place of refuge. And if you could make it to that place of refuge before the people caught you, then you could plead your case that you didn't mean to sin. And you could stay in that place of refuge and they couldn't touch you. And Brother Branham likened that to people trying to live for Christ on their own. See, he said, so if you want to keep trying to make your way on your own, he said, then he said, just avoid the city of refuge. And he said, and see how long you last. Think about that. And these what these people were doing. They were trying to do those things. The Sadducees and Pharisees, as sincere as they were, they were trying their best to follow after the truth. And they had their own ideas of the truth. And because they had ideas of the truth, they didn't have the truth. Why? Teaching for doctrine the tradition of men. Therefore, you make the commandments of God of no effect to the people. So this word that God gives us is supposed to take effect on God's people. And as we go along tonight, we're going to find out that in every age, there's a seed and there's a word. There's a word. I mean, the anointing of the word is in every age, and it's going to have an effect upon the seed for that age. Brother Branham said he's prepared ground for every age. There's a bride to receive it. There's a seed, a group of men and women to receive it. And then there's a word that they will receive in every age. And God's provided that. He's provided that prepared ground. And he's provided the seed to go into that, the word to give life to that seed. I'm going to let him read it here in just a minute. If I taught you a Methodist message, it would take no effect on you. This is bride time. If Moses taught the message of Noah, it would take no effect. See, they're out of sync. They're completely out of sync. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect. He's trying his best to get these people to see that they can't hang on to the Pentecost. They can't hang on to the Methodist message. They can't hang on to these other things. Amen. You know, and that pleading, that soul crying for those people, and that crying out, that's God. That was God crying out to his people. And his seed will hear that cry out. It has an effect upon them. But if he was trying to preach something that wasn't for this age, then it wouldn't have any effect on them. If Jesus taught Moses' message, it would take no effect. Because the predestinated seed was laying there, that will only be watered by that type of water that's give for that seed. So in every age, there's a type of water given for a seed that's given for that age. See, it won't grow any other conditions. It must be the conditions that grows it. So he's pointing out a message and a believer that it has to be. Now notice, paragraph 93, worship in the place that I have chosen. God's provided it, and he's the one that's chosen it. The sacrifice, of course, where they worshiped over the sacrifice. The place that I choose, not what you choose. God chose it. God provided it. You don't provide it and you don't choose it. He's done it all. You don't choose the place. He draws you. You don't come find him. You see what he's saying? Not what you chose, what man chose, but what I have chosen, you worship in this place. There shows there's then only one place. Others is in vain. It must be not of your choice. It must not be your choice. Your intellect is out the door. Unless you're born again, you're not going to know what to choose. But it must be his choice. And he has provided it. He's provided this choice for us. Down on paragraph 96. That every little jot, everything you must be faithful in. See, when you leave off something, you become the word of no effect that we were just talking about a while ago. Brother Ram said the denominations do that so easy. They'll just leave off and take whatever they want. And they might as well not even be talking. That every little jot, everything you must be faithful in. It's always the little vine, the little fox that spoils the vine. Sometimes you leave. It's not the big things you do. It's the little things you leave undone. You know, a lot of times it's the little thing you leave undone that ends up smashing into a big thing later on, and you realize what happened. It's the little things you leave undone. Remember, man, like, I'm going to try to give you an example. Let's say, for instance, me and Katrina gets up one morning, and she's fixing my breakfast. And I go in there, and she's messed up my eggs. And she's so busy, she don't care. She just throws me the plate. Now, this is never going to happen. It's never happened. So that I can say it. And the first thing Satan tells me is she don't care a dime about me. And I know it's not true, but Satan's told me that. That's the little thing. See, I can accept that little thing, and it's going to grow when I accept that little thing. It's going to grow into something else. And that's just one little example. I'm just trying to get you to think about it. It's when we listen to that one little thing, see? It doesn't matter, even if she doesn't care about me. You still don't accept those things. You don't do it. You see what I'm saying? That's Satan talking. We don't listen to Satan. And which reminds me that I just wanted to share with you, I have long struggled with people and other people's opinions of me, opinions and thoughts about me and ideas about me and what they think about what I said this time. And Satan would torment me about those things. May God move me past that. And I sincerely believe that I'm walking alone now with him. And that's all that matters. Amen. I love y'all to death. I love these brothers and sisters over here to death. I love them all over the world, wherever they are. But I'm not interested in everybody's opinion of me no more. I'm interested in one thing. This is the word. I line up with it. Lord, show me. I will line up with it. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Nothing else matters. See, when somebody comes at you in their cross, you know, the first thing Satan's going to tell you is they shouldn't treat you that way. They shouldn't act that way to you. You know what? Who cares? I would rather them do that and then me say, brother, are you okay? Sister, are you all right? Can we pray about it? Can we stop now? And let's stop Satan in his tracks. Let's do it right now. Okay? We're concerned about Christ. If we're concerned about Christ, you can't be concerned about you and Christ at the same time. It can't happen. I'm going to read it for you in just a minute. But we're getting into that place. That's the place where you can worship. That's when you're in God's presence. Because when you're in God's presence, I guarantee you nothing else matters at that point. When you're in God's presence, everything else just fades away. Nothing but pleasing to him matters. This world don't matter. If I make money next week or the next week, who cares? God said he'd provide for me. If he has to provide for me in a little picnic table under a building somewhere with a tarp down the side and I get to eat over a fire, then so be it if that's what he wants to do. You know, it's okay. Whatever he wants to do, he has a purpose in it. Until we get to that place, how can he have his freedom in us unless we believe that? Every last one of us stand as individuals with God. And there won't be any oneness until everybody is in that. There has to be a oneness. Each one walking with Christ. That's the only way there's oneness. I can read you that quote if you want it. I don't know if I read that in all the messages I brought, but I think I did. Okay, let's go to okay, so it's the little things you leave undone. See, you know what those little things are? Those little things are God drawing you. And that's why I was trying to say a while ago that we don't take it lightly that we feel a tug to go pick up a message. We ought to praise God for that we feel a tug to go pick up a message. And then go pick up a message, and then he shows us something, and we should praise God that he showed us something. It's a glorious life, Brother Mamm said. Remember, A chain is only its strongest at its weakest link. Blessed are they that do all the commandments of God. Blessed are they, because that's the only way they could do all the commandments of God, that they might have a right to enter in. This is God's provided way. Do all God said. They listened to him. They laid down their intellect and they listened to what he said. All right, so let's look at, for just a second, since he mentioned it there, let's look at who is Melchizedek. Brother Branham's talking about getting how to living. He said, you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just quit this, if I could just quit that. See, that's the intellect. That's placing it on you, and that's your all. You're going off on your own like a Sadducee and a Pharisee. If I could just quit doing this, if I could just quit doing that. When Brother Branham said, just get in Christ, and it's all gone, see? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. When you get in Christ, your body is subject. There's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They're dead, and your sins are buried in baptism, and you're a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to the Spirit. Try to live a right kind of life. All right, so we're going back into the message. God's only provided place of worship. And if he said for women to have long hair, and you say, because this is God pulling you. Brother Ram said this is the gospel. The things it tells how to live is the gospel. And it's God, if you'll listen, drawing you into this place of worship. You come in by his word, see? If it said for women to have long hair, and you say, a man told me not long ago, said, I don't preach a clothesline religion. I said, then you aren't preaching the gospel. Yeah. God laid it out there. He said what to do. God provided. See, he provided the way to come into this place of worship. He said what to do, and you either do that. That's your natural, reasonable thing. See, the little insignificant. Jesus said, blessed are they which would take all the things, do the little things. And a woman let her hair grow. That's just why it's just something she can do. And she won't even do that. She won't even do that. Because think about it. If she lets her hair grow, then she's not going to look like the rest of the world. And Satan made sure that if you follow the word, you're not going to look like the world, which is good. I'm glad that we don't look like it. Jesus said, blessed are they which will take all the little things, do the little things. And a woman let her hair grow. It's just something she can do, and she won't even do that. Oh, teach us the great things, they said. They want to jump over and not do what they're told to do by Christ, but they want these greater things. They're failing to see that Christ is living. His word is living. And they can't skip part of it and it be living. It becomes no effect. You can teach the great things when you won't do the simple common things. How can you teach the great things when you won't do the simple common things? Because see, your motive and your objective is wrong. Your motive and objective has to be right. It's your love to God. Lord, I don't care what you want me to do. I'm willing to do it. Then you're getting somewhere. See God's provided way? Now how could you do that unless God was drawing you? That's what the scripture says. No man can come to me unless my Father draws him. So when he draws you, oh, it's not going to be easy. When he draws you and you have to lay stuff down, the flesh is not going to like it. I can guarantee you that. I know these little sisters that, you know, they're in the public eye more than us brothers are. Amen. Because they wear their hair down, they cover themselves up, and they wear their dresses, and they're modest. And this world is way far from modest. They can't even put a dress on modest. And so when we do that, the flesh don't like it. See? And our reasoning, our spirit, that's what you reason with, Brother Branham said, it'll try to reason and go all around that at the same time that the spirit is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. And which one are you going to listen to? That's what Brother Branham's talking about. Which one are you going to listen to? Because you can't move into God's presence if we won't listen to the little things. That's what he's saying. All right. Then you're getting somewhere, but if you don't do it that way, the way he said do it, it's his choosing. He chose. He made the way. He provided the way. It's his choosing. It's his word. He wanted us to live this way. He wanted us to act this way in the midst of all that Satan's doing. That's what he wanted. The place that I have chosen, that's where you worship with your sacrifice. Amen. Now, paragraph 108. Your sincerity in all that you want to confess, you just can't take it to the Methodist altar, to a Baptist altar, to a Pentecostal altar. But there is an altar somewhere. See, everybody has what they're willing to go to so far in that spirit, in that intellect. True. They'll go so far with it. But there is an altar somewhere that he chose. And you're going to get to that altar by faith, brother and sister. You're going to do it because you don't quite understand why. But he said it, so you do it. And when you take one of God's... Oh, I jumped. But there is an altar somewhere that he chose. He put his name in it. And we would meet you at that. He will meet you at that place. See, when you come to that place is when you'll come into his presence. Come by that word. Do what he says do. Now, if you get everything running just right, it's going to run. Everything's set in order. If there's a short in that wire, that light won't come on because it's been grounded. And when you take one of God's, he's going to tell you what a short is in the wire. And when you take one of God's words or one of his places and in your own heart have selfish objectives, you're taking the word, but you have your own reason for taking it. You're not taking it because God's drawing you. You got your own reason for taking his word. Like you want to take your healing so you can go on and live a rotten life. Not live for Christ. That's what you're trying to do. Take his word. You're trying to accept his word, but you have your own selfish motive for it. See? That's just an example. It'll ground the power of God right there. And if you do it because you want to be smart, you want to be different from somebody else or something, right there, it's grounded. It'll blow the fuse. Look at that. Everything we take of God, it has to be right. You're wrong. You got to come with sincerity with all your heart, your motives, and your objectives placed right on God. Then search for his place. Find where he said and bring it there, see? Look at Martha and Mary. Now he's going to give an example of finding that place. Now I mentioned this a few services back. I don't think I read it. When Jesus had come back after he taught them this gospel, the light of his day, him being Messiah, he was hated and rejected. And all the Pharisees and churches despised him, but Lazarus had died. The brother, which was a bosom friend to him, he was a bosom friend to Jesus. And you think about what happened when they come and told Jesus that he was dying. And what did God tell him to do? Keep walking. Two times he kept walking until Lazarus died. And then he said, okay, you can go back now. Talk about obedience, brother. You look at the power that was happening in Jesus's life. At absolute obedience, God could do whatever he wanted to do. He was in the presence, brother and sister. He was in the presence. The brother which a bosom friend to him, he let him lay there, and they sent for him, and he didn't even come. But watch Martha, her attitude. Whatever God wanted to do, see, this is testing that. Whatever God wants to do, Martha, her attitude, she said, Lord, if thou had been here, give him his right title, Lord, Yahweh. See how she's approaching him. If thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Life and death can't associate in the same channel. See, if life had been there, then death couldn't have come. Or the same house. He would not have died. And she said, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life, saith God. See, when he said first, thy brother shall live again. She said, yes, Lord, I truly believe that. As a Jewess, I believe that there will be a general resurrection of the dead. And I believe my brother was just as loyal and sincere in worship. And I believe you are that Messiah that said in the Bible, because God vindicated his word in you shows that you're the messenger of this hour. See God providing the way? She's finding the way. Because in her heart, God's drawing her. And there's Jesus, God doing what he done in Jesus to make it be the draw. He to make himself known as the messenger of the hour. You are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Christ that was to come. Because your works testify that God has sent you here to be Messiah. Your works testify to that. How does she know that? It's the same way the little woman at the well knew about it. Testify that God has sent you here to be that Messiah. Oh my. Watch the cogs begin to come in place now. Watch her. Watch her. She's finding that place. See? And now she had a right to say, why didn't you come raise my brother? Why didn't you heal him? You healed others. Your very best friend. And now look what happened. No, no. That kind of objective don't get nowhere. You see, selfish. She would be upset that him supposed to be Lazarus' friend. And he just kept on walking and didn't come back. But that's not... God was going to do whatever God wanted to do, and she recognized that this was God. And brother, think about this message too. That's where he's pointing at. See, he's never not pointing at this message. Why didn't you come raise my brother? Why didn't you heal him? You healed others, your very best friend, and now look that. Look what happened. No, no, that kind of objective don't get nowhere. I believe that you are exactly what you're identified in the scripture to be. I believe this is the day that the Messiah would come. We've been looking for it. I don't care what the rest of them say. I believe with all my heart by what I have seen and heard by the word. What I have seen and heard. How did he that hath an ear let him hear? So that's how she heard, brother and sister. See why down in her, she had something to ask for, but she had to come to the right channel. What if she'd have run up and said, and then you tell me you're the Messiah and not even courteous, gentleman enough to even answer our request? When we fed you and housed you in everything and took up for you and left our churches, as you commanded us to get out of them denominations, see? She could have done that. But she knew why she come out of those denominations. She saw something, and God had moved her out of them denominations. And she was not going to jump out of that that God had showed her and start acting like a brat. Like God, it was she was entitled to this and entitled to that. And here we've left off, and now we're counted outcasts and renegades and everything that we've done for you. And then not even the common courtesy to answer my call. Now, actually, she had that right. But she forfeit all that she had rights to recognize. See what it was to recognize? She forfeit all her rights to recognize the word of God manifested right there before her. She gave up her traditions, see? She gave up her right to her traditions. She gave up to her right to her say. She gave up the doctrine of men. She gave up, you know, her intellectual understanding of the situation. She gave that up. And faith, she took faith over that wisdom, of that fleshly wisdom and understanding. And then he says, I'm the resurrection and life. She come into that provided place. That was a provided place, was prepared before the foundation of the world. Her faith in Christ, the two there, that was prepared before the foundation of the world. The Bible was being written. And it isn't stopped being written. Brother Branham said it will unfold throughout eternity. I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, there was one more little cog she hadn't come in line with. See, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, brother, everything was ready to spark off right then. See, God prepared that. She don't know the way. God knew the way, and God drew her to the way. Amen. That's why we have to trust him, because the minute we don't trust him and we start to think of our own way to do it, our own way to accomplish it, we're no better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right. Yea, Lord, I believe thou art. Okay. And he says, where have you laid him? You know what took place. See, you got to get into that right place before he'll receive your sacrifice. See, got to come into it. Now watch. In the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there, thou shalt not eat leavened bread in it. What does this typify in the sacrifice? Don't mix it with any creed. It's got to be the word. See, your sacrifice has to be the word only. Not everything but one little word. You know what the leaven is in anything. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. The whole lump is the body. You can't put one speck of denomination or creed into Christ. No, sir, it won't work. You remember the last Thursday night's message? Your old husband must be dead. Can't carry one speck of the old husband. That's right. Your new husband is the word. Now, paragraph 129. He had in his heart before the foundation of the world a son. Now, he's going to talk about how he brought this provided way into being here and what it was in God's heart that brought this provided way into this provided place of worship. He had in his heart before the foundation of the world a son, because he is a father, but it was still in the genes of his word. And he created a man and had to put him on free moral agency. See, he's in the genes of his word, and he created a man. Now it's coming out of the genes of his word. He had to be put him on free moral agency, but that man fell. Adam fell. But the great sculptor, God, who made man from the dust of the earth, he didn't settle for that. He started making men again. And he made a Noah. God made a Noah. And he died a drunk. God made a Moses that failed to keep his word. God done these things. He didn't fail to keep all of his word. He kept some of it, but he failed to keep some of it too. God, but that was God making man again. He made prophets that run in the time of trouble. And he kept building and molding until after a while, he wanted a masterpiece to reflect him, his nature, what was in his heart, what a son would be. There's going to be the provided place right there. What a son would be. What he saw a son would be. That was going to be the provided place. Where was we predestinated? In him before the foundation of the world. We were predestinated in Christ. One day down on Jordan, after the masterpiece had formed and made, here he come descending on the wings of a dove. This is him. It was an announcement. This is him. He was so enthused with his masterpiece, with this masterpiece, until he struck him at Calvary, that he would die for the rest of us that's imperfect. See him making this provided place of worship. This cost God. You know, people talk about, you know, this was God himself here doing this. I don't know if that made sense. This was God manifesting himself in flesh. Brother Branham said he felt this. He said he couldn't feel it in Moses. He couldn't feel it in these other ones, but he could feel it in Jesus. He paid the price. He is Jesus. This is him. He was so enthused with his masterpiece until he struck him on Calvary. He would die for the rest of us that's imperfect, that through the shedding of his blood, he might bring many masterpieces, bring us all into that same place. Being a bride to his son, masterpiece is scarred because the enthusiasm of God to see such a masterpiece. He struck him for us all. There he died to perfect we who are imperfect, the masterpiece. Notice what he said, 7 days shall ye eat this unleavened bread. Now the bread is typed. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What was every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God? It was made manifest and died on Calvary. That was every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Brother Bram said that was God in his fullness. And that's what we were going to live by. That's where our life was. When Adam and Eve was put in this garden, it was in him still. Brother Bram said the only relationship we have to God is in Jesus Christ. When Adam was put back there, that was his relationship. His only relationship to God was still in Jesus Christ. It can't be changed. It was what was in the book that Adam hadn't lost. That was in that book. And the only way he could get what was in that book was the fall had to come. So he could get that was in a book. Because it had to come and be brought into existence. Made flesh. Masterpiece is scarred. Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not just a word here and there, as denominations would have you believe. But the word of God is perfect. It's perfect. It's God himself in letter form, called a seed. And the right kind of unadulterated faith in that word will bring that seed to its life. That's exactly what you see at night in the discernments. That's exactly what you see. That unadulterated faith in the word bringing it to pass. He stood by me and told me these fakers would rise up, but to hold steady. I believe it. and no selfish motive to hurt anybody, but to be reverent to God and to do the work that He's called me to do. That's why I say these things. And God confirms it back and receives the offer and the sacrifice by vindicating it to be the truth. See, God wouldn't vindicate it if Brother Branham wasn't giving him the right sacrifice. If he wasn't giving him everything that God asked for, God wouldn't be vindicating it. No question to it. Now watch that word. Now, have you noticed every 3 years after a great meeting, what takes place? A denomination. This is 20 years and no denomination. Dear dying lamb, may it never do it. May it never do that. If I go in this generation, may the people who believe this message never stand still for a denomination. May they do it. You think that was God speaking when he said that? You die right in your track. Remember that. The very hour that you mention denomination among you, I don't care how sincere you are. Now listen to this, brother. Take man for your leader instead of Holy Ghost to confirm this word. I believe it because this one said it. Or I believe it because that one said it. I didn't say this. If somebody don't like this, it's because you don't like what the prophet said. Brother Ram said, take man for your leader instead of the Holy Ghost to confirm this word. So you let the man be your confirmation instead of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You see what's happened when that happens? It doesn't mean the word's not coming through that brother or this brother or whoever is saying the word. But when you take that confirmation from him, you're stepped out. You become the Sadducee and the Pharisee because it's the intellect now. You want this one to tell you what to do and that one to tell you what to do so you can go do it and you'll be all right. When it's not like that, it takes getting down there with God on your knees and finding him, finding the revelation that's the truth.
Amen.
When that man speaks, if he speaks and it's the truth, and you take that into your heart and you go find it, let God put it in your heart. Then the two of you are one then, because both of you is one with the word, and that's the only way to be one with the word. I'm sorry, I'm yelling.
All right.
But you go back and look and see if this is not where they started to fall away back there in that first church age. This is what Brother Ram said. This is where they started. They took the arm of flesh. It doesn't mean that men aren't what God uses. He always uses men. But it's when you put your faith on what the man said. It's fine to have confidence in a person. But when you want revelation, it comes from God. It comes through men. Sure, it always has come through men. Brother Bram said it always comes through the body. But you have to have your own relationship with God. You can't base what you think is the truth because somebody said this and somebody said that. The prophet gave us the example. The angel come to him and tell him something. And what did he do? He went back to the scriptures, which the prophet can do. He went back to the scriptures and he's, that's the truth. What he's telling me is the truth. Look right. See, it had to be one with him. He had to be one with it, or he had to have the revelation himself. If that makes any sense. It doesn't matter how many times I try to explain that. Somebody's always going to misunderstand it. So you know what? I'm going to say what the word says and let it fall where it may.
Yeah.
It's up to whoever. If they want to misunderstand you, they will. They'll find a way to do it. I shouldn't say that. Satan will find a way to make them misunderstand you and cause problems. That's why we can't, to the little things, listen to the little things. See? Because they become big things. All right. The genuine seed cannot, because there's nothing left after the seed. You see that? It's the same thing was back at the beginning. It's the bride that fell into the ground to bring forth the corn of wheat again. The blood has to be put on the doorpost, see? This is on down a little ways. Which the blood is the life of the animal. Thou shalt eat the flesh thereof, but the blood thereof, which is the life, pour it out. The blood was to be put on the lintel of the doorpost of the house wherein the sacrifice was accepted. Glory. What is that life? The name. He placed the name of that person. The life is the name. Go to the door and look and see what name's on the door before you ring the bell. And that's where they put the blood. The name and the blood's on the same place. The blood is put on the lintel of the door as a type of the sacrifice was on the inside. Now we're going to find the place of worship. Right through there. Come through that blood. Notice the blood on the door was speaking the name of what was on the inside. They were in there. And it was speaking the name of who was in there. The ones that it was going to pass over and not bother. Death was going to pass over these. They were in there. Oh, our place of worship, the Lamb, is the Word. You know that. So he goes on down. And it's kind of an abrupt stop, abrupt jump here, but we're breaking about halfway in the message. And so we'll pick up that part of the message again. But when he goes down here, he starts talking about, you know, Brother Branham will labor in a message. A lot of times he'll take you back and then he'll bring you up to the middle. And then but he always brings it home. He always brings it home in the end. And so here he is. He's starting to bring it home now. So he's talked about there being no leaven for those seven church ages. So in every church age, they had to believe that message that was given to that messenger. And there was seed there to receive that message, every church age, that was the case. And so now he's talking about, what about today? What about the message for today? Because if the word is the name of Christ, if the Word is where God put his name. Then what is the word? But at the place which the Lord thy God choose to place his name in, there shall thou sacrifice the Passover at evening. Going to sacrifice the Passover at the evening. When did Rebekah find Isaac? When did Eliezer call her to be the bride? We need to call her to be the bride. The evening time. And then he sings that song. It shall be light about the evening time. The way to glory you shall surely find. In the waterway is the light today. Buried in the precious name of Jesus. Young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in. The evening lights have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. That was the beginning of it. That song he just sang, that was the beginning of this evening light. Now she's faded on into the bride light. See what I mean? Okay, so this is not too big a jump. This is the service that night. So he's still talking about this evening light that he's talking about being the provided way in this day. We're almost there. Hang with me. John looked up. I read y'all this the other night, but I'm going to read it again. John looked up. Now, what is he? The prophet. And here's the word. There comes the word coming right straight to the prophet, right in the water. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There he is. That's him. Jesus never spoke a word. Walked right out into the water. And I can see there, standing in the water. Think of the drama. Two of the greatest that ever struck the earth. God, the Word, and His prophet. Notice, the Word come to the prophet in this dispensation of grace in the water. Go back and listen to this tape. I thought you'd catch it. in the water. Now, where is he talking about? 1933. He's talking about 1933. The word came to the prophet in this dispensation of grace. And what did he say happened before the seals opened? He said the Son of Man was coming in grace. And then it would be judgment. So he's staying right with what he says. He's not changing it. In the water. I thought you'd catch it. In the water. The first revelation of the word was in the water. Now you see where the bride started. The evening light message. In the water. The word, the true word, not mixed up with creeds, but come to the prophet in the water, by the water. Notice, could you imagine the eyes of the word and the eyes of the prophet meeting in the water? See, this is so real to Brother Branham. These two men walking down in there, and I saw a picture of this muddy little place where this river is, this water. It doesn't look like a river, at least the one they showed us. But I'm just talking about here, these two men, everybody else heard a thunder. The only one who heard the words was John. There stood the prophet. There stood the word, looking in each other's eyes. And the prophet said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou unto me? So we'll pick up there next Sunday. We'll pick up there Sunday, I guess. I hope I didn't put you to sleep too bad. I know Wednesdays is hard because we work all day long, you know, and we're tired. And I could have